Much for your grace. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for another opportunity to share the word of God. We pray for utterance in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. I want to continue sharing with you about demons and how to deal with them. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Why is it important to learn about demons? Because you need to know a lot about your enemy if you're going to be able to fight successfully. What do you think? Yeah. To be able to deal with something, you need to understand a lot about that thing. You get it? And to understand a lot about it, you need to study it thoroughly. Hallelujah. So if you want to be able to deal with demonic activity, you want to deal with the works of darkness, you want to deal with the devil as you should, then you need to understand how he operates. You need to understand what he does. One of the things we can say to the credit of the devil is that he's very persistent. Hallelujah. And the devil doesn't leave anybody alone. And the devil tries and makes an attempt at anyone, at any level, at any time. Hallelujah. So we need to understand. That's why he never leaves us alone. And that is the reason also why certain things continue to recur. And over again, we continue to experience the same thing sometimes. Even when the devil tempted Jesus Christ, the Bible says he left him for a season. After tempting the Son of God three times and it didn't work, the Bible says he left him for a short while. Did you know that? Let me show you that verse quickly. We can start from there before we go to Mark chapter 5. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. No, Matthew chapter 4, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 4. I think it is the Matthew chapter 4. Okay. No, actually Luke is the one I'm looking for. Luke, same chapter 4. Okay. Luke chapter 4 and verse 13. Verse 12 says, Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And verse 13 says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for how long? A season, isn't it? Yeah. That means he was going to come back again. Hallelujah. So if he did that to Jesus, you should expect him to do it to you. Amen. If he did that to the greater one, you should expect him to do it to you. Hallelujah. Yeah. I wish I could pronounce this word. I would have tried to read this. But Selona. Is that what it is? Monique. Selona. Nya. I see. Selona. Okay. What does that mean? He distanced himself. De lui. For a moment. What about this? Moment favorable. Right. So he left him and waited and looked for another good opportunity, isn't it? Right. So that's how the devil relates with all of us, that he would leave you for a favorable moment. He will leave you for some time to find another favorable moment, because not all temptations work at the same time, isn't it? For the temptations here involved, for example, making bread into stones into bread. Do you get it? And that's a good temptation for someone who has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Do you get it? So You don't bring such a temptation to someone who has just finished eating a sumptuous meal. It's not a favorable moment for such a temptation. Hallelujah. So you can see that the devil picks and chooses even the timing of his temptations so that he can have the best chance of succeeding. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. So we're continuing today, Mark chapter 5 and from verse 1. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. And here we're studying an extreme case, because number one, I'm saying that if you want to deal with something, you need to understand a lot about it. And if you want to understand a lot about something, you need to deal with or study a full-blown case of that thing. Do you understand? So you can get all the sides of it and have a good understanding of the thing. If it was, let's say, a disease or something like that we're studying, you know, you will not know all about the disease if you get maybe someone who has a mild form of it. Is it not true? Yehuda, is it true that if you want to know a lot about a disease, you need someone who has a full-blown case of the disease, isn't it? As opposed to someone who is experiencing some of the symptoms of the thing, isn't it? Yeah. So to be able to understand demons, we are choosing the case of a full-blown demonic possession or infestation, if you like. Hallelujah. Someone who had enough demons in him to fill 2,000 pigs. Do you understand? And as I said to you the other day, we don't know if that means there were 2,000 demons. But at least there were 2,000 of them to fill 2,000 pigs. But maybe some of them may have shed some of their pigs. You get it? Just because there are 10 cars doesn't mean there are only 10 people. It means there are at least 10 people. But some of the cars may have more people than one, isn't it? Yeah. So a lot of demons in this guy. Hallelujah. So Mark chapter 1, they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And then he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So those who don't eat pork because of this, at least you can see that all the 2,000 were choked. So those pigs died, right? The ones in the store, they don't necessarily have demons. Amen. 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 But it also tells you that demons can enter animals, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes very wild dogs are possessed by evil spirit. Yeah. And you can see the ferociousness with which they want to attack people. You see, this dog has a demon. Hallelujah. Right. Now, today I want to talk about, or begin to talk about, the activities of demons. Amen. How to identify demonic activity. What are some of the things demons do to people? Hallelujah. Like I said, if we take a full-blown case, that if the devil was to get a complete hold of a person, what would he do with the person? Hallelujah. Now, we can see, number one, that the devil sent this man to live in a cemetery. Amen. He sent the man to live in the tombs. He took him to a place where people are normally not so comfortable to stay there, at least not at night. Isn't it? Yeah. See, they have some beautiful cemeteries around here, and people can go there during the day for meditation and so on. But I haven't heard of people going there for night meditation. Are you getting it? How would you like to go to a cemetery in the night? Yeah, that's a scary place. Do you understand? And yet, can you see how that the Bible says the man lived in the tombs? He made his home at the place where normal people don't go, don't like to be. No wonder he was crying day and night. Do you understand? It's a place of fear. It's a place, a terrible, scary place. And that's where the devil took him. Hallelujah. Wow. One of the main characteristics of demonic activity is fear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the main signs that demons are involved in a particular situation is fear. When fear begins to attack you, or when fear begins to knock on your door, you know right there that demons have begun to attack you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Fear, fright, frightening things. Amen. Sometimes you have a dream and you are frightened. And you wake up so glad it was a dream. Yeah? Sometimes when demons want to attack little children, they attack them through their dreams to create fear. Hallelujah. I remember when our kids were smaller, I don't even remember which particular one of them, but there was one of them who used to complain about, is it a lion or something under the bed? Do you remember that? When they had that white bed, the white bunk bed. Yeah? There was one of the, it was a monster. A monster. Yeah, always. They used to say that there's a monster, and you see him looking under the bed, looking for the thing. And he doesn't want to come off, or she doesn't want to come off, or they didn't want to come off. I'm not sure which one it was, but you get it. But there was this serious problem. I mean, and it was very, very serious, such that at night you could see that as they're going to bed, they are terrified. Do you understand? And we dealt with that thing through prayer. And I used to pray for them. In fact, that's when I began to pray for them every night. Do you understand? Yeah. Because I realized that an evil spirit was tormenting them. Do you understand? Yeah. Don't take it for granted when little ones come around and say, I saw a monster, I saw a tiger, I saw these kinds of things. Because it is a well-known feature of demonic activity to take people into a place of fright. Do you understand? Or to expose people to frightening things and scary things. Why do you think horror movies, which are generally about demonic activity, always involve frightening things? Why don't they depict demonic activity as what it also sometimes is? Like making someone waste his money. Are you following what I'm saying? But you realize that when they are making these things, the movies, they try to put in the main element. They don't just want you to know that they are showing some extraterrestrial or some type of spirit that is not from here. But it includes the fright. The fear. Because when the fear is not in it, it ceases to be what it's supposed to be depicting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that is why you see sometimes even the music. The music. See, demons. Yeah. Sometimes you see a lady, she's come downstairs, she's in the parking garage walking to go to her car, and you can hear just the sound of her shoes. Co, 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 and then, and you know that there's not about to be a wedding. No, it's not a wedding you're about to see. There's not like somebody's going to appear with a birthday cake. No, that's not what you're about to see. You know that this is the introduction of demonic activity. Somebody is about to kill someone. Someone is going to do something sinister or evil to someone. Hallelujah. So fear is something that you need to watch out for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Fear is a spirit. Fear is not a mood. Fear is not an attitude. Fear is not a disposition. Fear is a spirit. So says the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Wow. Are you with me already? Yes. Hallelujah. It says God, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Can you see that? For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Can you see that? It says, God has not given us what? The mood of fear. Is it? The attitude of fear. No, it says God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. So right there we can see that fear is a spirit. Isn't it? And to allow your life to be governed by fear is to allow your life to be governed by an evil spirit. That is why living in fear has never produced any good thing. Living in fear only makes people smaller than they could be. Living in fear makes people poorer than they need to be. Living in fear makes people not have relationships they could have had. Living in fear makes people timid and generally less than they could ever be. Hallelujah. Because it's not a mood, it's not an attitude, it's not a feeling, it's not a disposition. It is a spirit. Hallelujah. And certainly, according to this verse, it is not the spirit of God. Isn't it? Because it did not come from God. It says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. When people are afraid, they are operating and they are being governed by evil spirits. Amen. And that is why one of the antidotes to fear is to do exactly what you are afraid of. Yeah. So do exactly what you are afraid of. Because if you get into a car which is being driven by an evil spirit, where do you think that car is taking you? Yeah? I think there was some movie I saw one day many years ago where someone got into a taxi cab and they think they are going somewhere. And then later on, the taxi driver turns around and looks at the person and they see the person is a demon or some spirit or something like that. And then they get very scared. Why do they get scared? Because they know that with this evil spirit driving this car, it's not going to a good place. When an evil spirit is driving your life, it's not going to a good place. Hallelujah. Every time people are afraid, they do something unreasonable. Hallelujah. Like there are two verses in the Bible I can show you right here. One of them is in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 25. I'm going to show you five things that fear takes away from you. Amen. Five things that fear takes away from you. Hallelujah. Number one, fear makes you hide yourself from God. Fear makes you hide yourself from God. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10. Is it coming? Okay. It says, and he said, I heard, okay, let's start from verse 9. Verse 9. This is Adam. Adam. Verse 9. And God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Then verse 10, he says that, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was what? Afraid, because I was naked, and I did what? I hid myself. Wow. He said, I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Hallelujah. This is the story of Adam and Eve after they had fallen into sin and God was coming to visit them. And fear made them hide themselves. Hallelujah. And fear, that same kind of fear, still makes people hide themselves from God today. There are people who don't go to church today because they are afraid. They are afraid of something. Do you understand? There are people who don't go to church there because they are even afraid to start. Because if they start, they are afraid they may not be able to continue. Are you getting it? Yeah. They have friends who are waiting. There was a lady who called me yesterday, and I was speaking to her, and she was just telling me how she was afraid. She was afraid that because all her friends, she was an alcoholic. We had a meeting somewhere, and I prayed for her, and by the grace of God, she came off the alcohol and so on. Now she was telling me yesterday, she just called me and said, it's Saturday, and all my friends have started calling me. They are saying we should come out and drink, you know. And I'm afraid. She said, I'm afraid that all my things are going to come back again. Do you understand? All my things, my lifestyle, the drug abuse and all the things are going to come back again if I follow this thing. And then she said something that I realized was being used by the devil just to torment her. She said that they have been saying and laughing. You see, they've been laughing at her. That when she says she now goes to church, they laugh at her. So she said that laughter makes her afraid that she may not be able to continue. Are you getting the picture? Yeah, that what she's doing is a 9-day wonder that is going to end on the 9th day. Do you understand? And she feels that it's just something that's not going to work. And so that makes a lot of people not even want to start at all. One of the things the devil does to people is just to tell them, you know, you don't have to go to church. Just be afraid of them. They put fear in you. Sometimes even people fear the pastor. Yeah. They're afraid of the pastor, that the pastor is going to dupe them or something like that. See, the pastor is now saying second offering in the church. Wow. Second offering. Is that his second mortgage or something like that? You get it. So people have all these fears, and sometimes even experiences people have had with previous churches, previous pastors, and so many different experiences, sometimes stories we have heard of people, it all puts fear in us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it makes us hide ourselves from God. So even though we hear the voice of God calling us, in the form of someone inviting us to church or someone encouraging us to come, we do not listen and we hide ourselves from God. We're afraid sometimes of what people will say if they find out that you're going to church. Amen. Especially sometimes you know that you don't have it all together. You're not living as a Christian should. You know, and then you start to hide. Because you know, if the people discover in the office that you're a Christian, it will not be good for you. Because you will have to explain a whole lot of things. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Yeah? So, it makes people hide themselves from God. Some people are afraid of African churches. Yeah, all kinds of fears. And it makes them also hide themselves from the presence of God. Hallelujah. Now, the second thing fear makes you do is to hide your gifts and talents. Fear makes you hide your gifts and talents. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 25. Somebody was given a talent and he explains that he says, I heard thy voice. No, this is not it. Matthew 25 and verse 25. He says, and I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. Okay? What it is this is the story of somebody who was going away and he gave talents. Pastor Manette, let's read the story quickly so that the meaning comes out more clearly. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you learning something today?
Yes.
Right? And while, I'm talking about the parable of the talents, the story of the talents. Okay. No, that's too far. Verse 14, I believe. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Amen. Verse 15. He says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. 17. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1, he went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. You see, now this guy is behaving abnormally, and we don't understand it until he reveals to us later why he did this. Are you getting it? Now, as the story continues, you will see that the master came after a long time. The Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Verse 20. And he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Then verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Said, you can now enter the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Do you see? His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou was a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. So verse 25, I was afraid and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Hallelujah. So when people are walking in fear, the next thing they do is that they hide their gifts and their talents. Something they could use and get so much better at. Look at these other guys. The one who used the 5, multiplied his talents, gained 100% more, got 100% better. The one who used the 2 didn't sit back envying the one who had the 5, but he looked at the 2 and thought, you know, that's what I have. I could do something with it. And he also turned the 2 into 4. But the one who had the 1, instead of thinking of how to turn the 1 into 2, he decided to yield to fear. And when he yielded to fear, he got stuck in that same place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those who were not afraid surged forward. But the one who was afraid remained in that same place. If he was your classmate, you would come and discover after so many years that he is still at the same place. When you would have been done with college and had been done with your graduate school program and everything, and you would come back and come and find him sitting in the same place you left him because he was afraid. Hallelujah. Amen. When people are afraid, they don't use their talents. They don't sing in the church because they're afraid. What if I don't sing well? What will people say? People will be looking at me when I'm singing. They'll be watching my lips. people will see that I have a blemish on the right side of my mouth. Please, I don't know if you have a blemish on the right side of your mouth. I'm just preaching my simple message. Hallelujah. Yeah. People will notice this. People will say this. People will say that. And that kind of fear keeps people. Hallelujah. I'm afraid that it will cost me much more than I can afford in time. I'm afraid that if I join the choir, if I go for the area fellowship meeting, I will not have much sleep. That's one of the reasons why people don't go for the area fellowship meeting. It's fear. It's fear that I'll be tired. Hey, if I go for this meeting, I'll be tired. It means I will only sleep for 6 hours instead of 8. And if I sleep for 6 hours instead of 8, my headache will come. You have a personal headache that you have assigned to yourself that comes as and when you want it to come. Do you understand? So my headache, my this, I am afraid. I'm afraid that when I get to work, I'll be too tired. It's all fear. Do you understand? So you can see that what we are not doing is because of fear. Fear is manipulating and controlling our lives one way or the other, and we are not able to give off our best. Hallelujah. People don't pay their tithe because of fear. If I pay my tithe, hey, I'll be broke. That's fear. Do you understand? I'll be broke. I will not have any money. Do you understand? You know, if I give an offering or if I give a gift to someone, I will be broke. So fear has turned you into a stingy person, and the devil is using that to block what comes to you, because what comes to you is a function of what goes from you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if what goes from you, nothing goes from you to anybody. You don't give anything to anybody at any time at all. As far as you are concerned, you and gifts is only one-way traffic. The arrow points this way. That is it. No matter how broad the road is, it just leads this way, one direction. If it's a gift, it must be coming to you. It can never come from you. Because you are afraid. You are afraid. That is why sometimes, no matter how much people earn, they seem not to be satisfied. They seem not to be content. Sometimes you find poorer people or people who earn much less than you happier, and you begin to question secretly in your mind. How is this person able to be so much happier than I am? Do you understand? But the truth is that someone who is living in fear of running out, someone who is constantly afraid of not having enough, no matter how much you give to him, he's still in fear. And that fear torments you and makes you not able to enjoy your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because you're always thinking, hey, it's going to finish. Hey, it's going to finish. Even though you're having stacks and stacks of it, you still feel that it's going to finish. Hallelujah. Another type of fear, my gift is too small. If I do anything, it's too small. You know, it doesn't make a difference. You know, another one is that one other fear that people have is that if I enter the church too much, they'll make me a pastor. Yeah, the fear of being a pastor. I used to have a fear like that. I used to have a fear of being a pastor. Magdalene, can you believe it? You can't, you see. I used to be so terrified of being called a pastor. And I used to say that, you know, I'll do anything in the church. I'll even preach in the church. I'll be prepared to do anything. Just don't call me pastor. Because I was afraid that if they call you pastor, it means they've hung the church on you. It means if it's not working, everybody can run away, but you can't run away. Do you understand? It means you are stuck with it. So I was afraid. And guess what? That fear was preventing me from releasing myself. Do you understand? If I hadn't, you wouldn't have a pastor today. So can you think of what your fear is also keeping from other people? Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? So fear makes us keep our gifts and talents, and it takes it away from us, and others cannot benefit from it, although it was given for them. Hallelujah. The next thing that fear does to you is that fear takes away your sound mind. Fear takes away your sound mind. That means people can act abnormally when they are afraid. Your fear of an evil thing can make you behave in an abnormal way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You lose the soundness of your mind. Not only do you lose soundness of mind in terms of peace of mind, because people who are afraid often don't have any peace of mind. They can't even sleep. Do you get it? If you have one of these refrigerators that make the ice cubes by themselves, yeah, you're going to find that in the night you hear some noises periodically. Ha! Last night while I was praying, and I left the door open, and then I could hear. I said, huh? I'm praying about my message on fear, and the devil is not embarrassed. He's not ashamed. He has come to stand here to come and frighten me about the very message I'm going to preach. But you hear all these kinds of noises. Hallelujah. The thing is that you need to be careful, because fear can make you act up. You see someone who is afraid. I know someone who's afraid of flying. And she travels, actually it's a he travels everywhere by bus. I'm telling you. And I heard one day that he was coming to California, and he had set off like Monday or something, intending to get here on Sunday. From New York. Take a bus from New York, change in South Carolina, from South Carolina, go to Virginia, from Virginia, take to this. In the middle of the week, you call somewhere, say he's now in Dallas. You're acting a plus the cost. You know? Yeah, you're not behaving like someone who is normal. You've lost the soundness of your mentality because of fear. That the planes take off and they land, but the day you alone get on, it's going to come down. It's a spirit. One day I traveled. It was on one of these trips to Ghana, and then we were returning. When the plane took off, there was this lady who was sitting. Actually, she was even sitting like two or three rows behind me. All I saw was that there was some commotion. As soon as the plane just lifted off the ground, there was some commotion in the plane. So even the flight attendants and everybody who was supposed to be seated, they got up and they were rushing to this place. So I even thought somebody was collapsing or dying or something. Here was this lady, a grown-up lady. She said she was a school teacher. Grown-up lady, she was so scared. She said she's not going anymore. Hey! Sister Catherine, how are you going to tell this KLM pilot to park? Park! The plane had taken off. And the lady said, no, I'm not going anymore. I'm afraid. Hey! And the thing was just, the plane was just going further. And the lady was just going, oh! Look, that day I really saw the power of fear. They brought the lady. The flight attendants were trying to bring her somewhere, you know, just to a place. And that day, of all days, I had been blessed with a seat, you know, with nobody next to me. You get it? And I had a serious agenda. I was going to spread myself on the other two and really have a great time in the Lord. And they bring this lady, and they are bringing her, moving her past all the seats, and they're going. Then when they get to my seat, she says, that's where she wants to sit. So she sits, yeah, so they sat her down there, and then she grabs me. Hey, look,
6 hours, the lady was just holding on to me like that, you know, and then shaking. And look, at a point, she was, even her clothes were coming off. I'm telling you, it was so serious. I had done that where everything was trying to fall off. And she was sitting next to me. I said, I'm a pastor, Lord. You need to save me, Lord. Only fear can put a grown-up woman in such a situation. I tell you. And then the people brought, they said they have something. I think they have something that they put in your mouth. Calm her down a little bit. Then she sort of fell asleep. The middle of, we had some turbulence. Then she woke up again. The whole of the, and she was going to Finland. So I was just saying, what's this lady going to do? Because when she gets to Amsterdam, it's not the end of it. By the time she gets to Amsterdam, she has to decide, is she going to go back home or this way? But by all means, this thing is going to continue. But fear makes you operate that way. It makes you act abnormally. You see someone climbing 18 floors. It's not that she wants exercise. She's afraid of getting into this cage. So you see yourself climbing from, and you find as yourself not even going up and down as you need to go. Because it's too much. You are stuck. Do you understand? Fear keeps people from even trying. Just try. Try to apply for a job or something. Just try. But you are afraid. If I go, they'll say no. Do you know? And that makes people afraid. Hallelujah. So fear is going to keep you and take away from you a sound mind. Hallelujah. Fear makes people not get married when they could have been married. They are afraid because they feel that, what I saw here is going to happen to me also. Do you understand? What I saw here is going to happen to me also. And so it takes away that the soundness. You find yourself behaving abnormally. Nice people are coming your way. You are sacking all of them because you are afraid. But that fear is a spirit that has been sent to rob you of what belongs to you. Can I have an amen? Amen. The next thing, number four, is that fear takes power away from you. Takes power and courage away from you. Well, that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. That's the verse that is giving us all these things. It says, God, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. Isn't it? Yeah, of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it means the alternative to fear is these things. Isn't it? That God will give you these things. And so when fear exists, then this is what you will not have. So one of them is a sound mind. The other one is power or even courage. Isn't it? Yeah. Because when fear takes hold of you, then you are not able to do all the things that you could do. Isn't it? You become immobilized. You become paralyzed. You will not rise up to sit for that exam. You will not rise up to enroll in school. You will not rise up to do the things that will take you forward because you are paralyzed by fear. You kind of feel that, well, as for you, something is going to happen if you alone try to do this. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it takes away the power that you need to be able to move forward. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Right. Then, the next one, and the last one, is that fear destroys love. Fear destroys love. Fear destroys
love.
Apart from robbing you of the power to go forward. You know, the power to go forward.
It destroys also your ability to love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible says, there is no fear in love. Can you see that? There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Have you seen that? Yeah.
So a person who is afraid of you usually does not love you.
Yeah.
The person who is afraid of you usually does not love you. A person who is suspicious of you does not love you. Do you understand? If you are suspicious of me, you don't love me. No matter what you say. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the Bible says there is no what? Fear in love. Isn't it? Then it says, but perfect love, that means when you have a cup full of love, it totally eliminates fear. Just like perfect light will eliminate darkness. Isn't it? Sometimes the light you have is a little dim. So you can see pockets of darkness behind the closet here and there. You see there's light, but there's a little bit of darkness. Isn't it? Yeah. So there is as much darkness as there isn't light. And in the same way, there is as much love as there is in fear. Isn't it? Yeah. And I've seen many people destroy, especially relationships, just because of fear. You know? Because they become accusers. They turn themselves into accusers. And you can see that a lot of things don't come to them. A lot of people cannot even stick around them or relate with them because of their fear. Do you understand? Their fear makes them suspicious of every move, and it makes them do abnormal things. One of the brothers told me one night, he said one night he was asleep, and then he had come home late, and he had just fallen asleep on his bed. And then he, in the middle of the night, he could feel someone just turning him like that. So the person was just rolling and just turning him. And then the next thing he knew, the person was putting her hands in his pockets to search the pockets to see where has he been, what is in his pocket, what has he been eating, and all that. You know. And I'm just thinking that, you know, you are starting to act abnormally because of your fear. And this, your fear and suspicion, is going to destroy the marriage that you have. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, a wife should have more to do than just follow a grown-up person all over town. Do you understand? No, you don't have to do that. And even if you find out that's what he's doing, what are you going to do? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. What are you going to do? So you find some people then get into a fight and they start to beat the other person. You get it. And then many times they get beaten. I mean, you don't need all, you don't need all that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't need all that. I think that love needs to be built on a foundation of trust. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you love people, you're going to have to trust them. You know, one day a lady came to say hello to me. And then she saw the line of people who wanted to talk to me. And when she came to me, I couldn't believe what she said. Hey, pastor, me, I cannot be your wife. Oh. And I was thinking, who has asked you to be my wife? What a shock! Who has asked you to be my wife? But she was just standing there observing how everybody was saying hello to me, you know. And she's just thinking, hey, you cannot be your wife. Oh. Are you understanding the word of God today? There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has torment. It's tormenting to live a life of fear. You can't even sleep. You can't even sleep. Where is he? Who is he talking to? Who is texting? Who is calling? Who is on Facebook? Who is on, what's the other one? Who is tweeting this person? Who is doing this? Who is WhatsApping the person? You're going to have a lot of problems if you walk in fear. Torment is what you will have. Hallelujah. Amen. On the contrary, when you love, and some people, you know, they claim they love, but they use the love rather to destroy and suffocate whatever was even there. Do you understand? At the point, you're not even liked anymore. Because you are just someone who is just causing so much trouble and so much problems all over the place. And it's the same even for men. I know some men who always accuse their wives. Yeah. Not so long ago, I was speaking to a lady. She was telling me, as I'm speaking to you, it's a problem. Yeah. She said, even as I'm speaking to you, it's a problem. Then her husband will come and walk around and be smiling with me. And when they get into the car, say, you were shaking the pastor's hand. You were doing this. What is all this? It's an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it is because maybe a person has not been taken over completely, as in the case of the madman, that you are not yet calling it an evil spirit. Are you getting it? But the madman story is the case of a full-blown case. But between that and having nothing, you can have varying degrees of demonic oppression that control people's life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So do not walk in fear. Be determined that when you are afraid, you are not being led by the Holy Spirit. You're not being led by God when you are afraid. It is not the Holy Spirit that makes people afraid. Hallelujah. It is the devil. And you need to do exactly what you are afraid of doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need to do exactly that and have faith in God. That's how to overcome fear. Amen? You overcome fear by doing what you are afraid of. Because when you do that, you overrule his voice. Amen? And you are able to surge forward with power and strength. I think our time is up. Stand to your feet. We'll continue next week. Hallelujah. Amen. Ask your neighbor, what are you afraid of? Hallelujah. Did you know that when people have a blessing, one of the things they do next is to be afraid of losing it. Is it not true? Yeah. When you are in a good place, you sort of feel that something is going to happen suddenly and everything is going to change. And that makes people sometimes behave abnormally also. Isn't it? Job is one of those guys who was very prosperous, but who was very afraid. Isn't it? Yeah. In the book of Job, let's read that verse maybe before we close. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. For the thing, Job chapter 3, where's the verse? He says, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Do you get it? Of course, if you're afraid of it, it will come unto you because the thing wants to master you. Do you understand? And so when you are afraid of it, you give the thing a license to dominate you. Is it not the case? Yeah. Everybody runs away from an opponent who stands up to them and fights them and challenges them. Then they'll run away. But if the thing can actually take over your life, then it will. and then it will come unto you. So often most evil actually is preceded by a fear of that evil. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. You hear all kinds of bad things. That person died of this. This person died of this. The other day I heard that a young lady, teenager, has had a double mastectomy. She's had her breast cut off because she's afraid of breast cancer. And I was thinking, what else are you going to cut off? Because there are so many types of cancers, isn't it, Yehuda? Yeah. Are you getting it? So what else are you going to cut off? So many things that can happen. And especially when you hear that people are dead. People die from different things. You see that a spirit of fear starts knocking on the door of your life to see if you can be the next person. If it can enter your life. If it can make you afraid of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you can become afraid of that, then it will open the door for that thing to come on you. And often you see when you're afraid of something and it happens to you, then you start to say, you see, I told you. It means I'm a prophet. Shame on you. That's not how to be a prophet. Because I always knew it. I knew that this thing is going to happen one day. And now it has happened. Yeah, it's your fear of it that has allowed it to come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes when I'm stepping on the plane, the devil tells me, look at their faces. These are your mates in death. These are the people you're going to die with. All kinds of things the devil always wants to take over your life, but he wants to start with fear. Fear will put you in prison. I tell you, fear can make you live in this country. You will never drive a car. Yeah. Or if you drive a car, you just take it to, just look, you to go to Walmart across the road and come back. Meanwhile, when you are paying insurance on your car, they don't ask you, is it for a Walmart car or whatever? They just charge you and you pay and you park the car right there because you're afraid. I used to live in New York and we used to have some church members. They could not. They are afraid of driving to Manhattan. So if there's nobody to pick them to Manhattan, then no church. No church. Or you see them struggling on the train. And they had beautiful cars parked in their house. But somehow a spirit of fear just takes over them and they cannot do it. But today God is setting you free in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever it is you are afraid of, God is setting you free from that thing today in Jesus' name. Amen. Just bow your heads with me as we pray and just begin to pray about that fear. Whatever it is, the fear of starting something, the fear of doing something, the fear of taking a certain decision. Whatever it is that the devil seeks to imprison and capture your life by, decide today that you will set yourself free from that by refusing to be afraid. Say, I will not be afraid of this anymore. I will not be afraid of this anymore. Some sleep with the light on because they are afraid. And you are running your bills and doubling your electric bills because you are afraid. You don't have to pay so much in electric bill just because of fear. Turn the light off and fall asleep. Play some Christian preaching and play some Christian songs and allow a good atmosphere to come into the room and fall asleep and have a deep sleep in the name of Jesus. Decide that I will not be afraid anymore. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid of being broke. Maybe that's why you don't give offerings. That's why you don't pay your tithe. Because you're afraid of being broke. But rather, it's that fear that is bringing poverty. And that is making it so difficult. It's the other way around. It's your fear of giving that makes you always be without. But decide that I will not be in fear. I will not be in fear. Your fear, the fear that someone will break your heart. Because you've seen it before. It's happened before. You've heard about it before. You trusted before. And it didn't end well. So you are so afraid of trusting again. What is it that is making you so insecure? And that makes you so afraid? That is destroying
all your relationships and driving everybody away from you, decide today that I will not be afraid of that thing anymore. I will not be afraid anymore. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I will not be afraid anymore. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much today for your word. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you, O God, for delivering us from our fears. Delivering us from the spirit of fear that torments us, that makes things so difficult for us, that makes us so restless, that makes us so timid, and that has taken away so much from us, has made us withhold ourselves, hide ourselves from you, hide our gifts and our talents, hide our abilities, hide the things that you have given us, because we are afraid of what the enemy can do. But thank God for the power of love. Thank God for the power you have given us. Thank God for a sound mind to behave and think normally. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your blessing, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.